I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, did Dodgy Tom finally get his payback? We shall discuss coming up here in about 18 minutes from now. And it's a Trash Tuesday. We'll do trashes coming up toward the end of the hour. You can hit us up on the phones with your trashes at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. We just had Dave Cohn join us here in studio, five-time World Series champion, and he pitched a perfect game in 1999 for the New York Yankees. You may remember an anecdote from the DA show where at the Super Bowl in San Francisco a number of years ago, we ran into Boomer Wells, David Wells, at a bar one night. I was at David Wells' perfect game. I was back home from after freshman year in college. A bunch of my buddies were Yankees fans. I had been to old Yankee Stadium only one time prior, one time when I was in fifth grade for a birthday party. You know, as a Mets fan, I never stepped foot inside Yankee Stadium. But my buddies back home from college, Yankee fans, said, hey, why don't we go? Let's go. We'll have a few beers, have a good time. I said, fine. Ends up being David Wells' perfect game. I'm sitting, we all are, in the bleachers. There's seven of us. We're in the bleachers in the outfield where the bleacher creatures are, right field. And in the seventh inning, a seagull, which are very popular around Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, a seagull which had probably been eating trash for the previous 2 months and all day that day, laid a doo-doo in the sky that landed on my arm, my left arm, my left forearm. I was wearing a t-shirt that day. That doo-doo splattered on my arm and everybody around me said, oh! And I was like, oh, God, this is disgusting. So I then grabbed some napkins and I'm about to wipe it off. And my buddies go, no, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean? They said, we got a perfect game going on. You can't do that. You can't break the karma. And there, I think, just trolling me because now I've got doo-doo on my arm. But it incites a reaction around the entire bleachers. And everyone's like, yeah, no, you can't wipe that off. No, you got to stay in your seat. No, you can't do that. That's good luck, seagull doo-doo. And as you might imagine, in the Bronx, in the right field bleacher creature section, they ain't saying doo-doo. Okay, so it's a colorful language that they're using to describe what has happened to my arm. You got bleeped on. You got to keep that on. So I sit there through the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings of David Wells' perfect game with a splatter of seagull dung on my left forearm. Finally, the game is over. Note that I am not a Yankees fan. I am at their will, okay? I'm doing this. I don't care if it's a perfect game or not. I mean, I like seeing history, but it's not like I've got any emotional investment in it. I want to wipe off this white, stinky, slimy seagull doo-doo. Finally, the game is over. Wells pitches the perfect game, gets the final out. I grab the napkins, I wipe it off immediately, and I'm telling you, I could see the beginnings of a rash forming underneath because it had laid on my skin for the better part of 45 minutes. I'm like, this was so gross and so awful. We see David Wells at this Irish bar in San Francisco. Of course, he's like five JMOs deep. And I'm like, I'm going to tell David Wells my perfect game story. I had seagull doo-doo on my arm for 45 minutes just so that he could get the good karma and the good luck.
And much like the Aaron Rodgers situation, I kept telling you, don't you dare tell David that story. Don't you dare do it.
Well, I didn't tell you that in Aaron Rodgers. I encourage you to go talk to
Aaron
Rodgers.
Yeah, it's true. But I was telling you, don't do this to David.
So I said, no, I'm going to tell him. I think he'll get a kick out of this. I tell him the story. He looks at me, bleary-eyed, five JMOs deep, and is like, whatever, dude. Like, everybody says they were at my perfect game. I'm like, come on. I'm like, that was a good story. That was a really good story. He's like, I mean, everybody always says they were at my perfect game. I'm like, no, I really was. Who comes up to you with a story about seagull doo-doo on their arm for 45 minutes? I was totally dismissed by David Wells. He went to go drink even more. So Mraz, just as we are saying goodbye to David Cohn during the commercial break, brings up the fact, he goes, hey, how many people tell you that they were at your perfect game? And David Cohn says, a lot. And the joke always is, you know, everybody always says they're at these historic games, even though they weren't. And David Cohn says, yeah, I've had people say I had tickets to that game, I didn't go. So then Mraz starts retelling the story of my David Wells perfect game, and then I tell it in full, and David Cohn goes, oh, no, that's a good story. That's a good story. So I finally got affirmation from a Yankees pitcher that pitched a perfect game that my seagull story was a good story and that David Wells was just too drunk and didn't appreciate it. Okay, Mraz? So that's vindication for me.
Honestly, the only surprising part is that you didn't shoehorn it into the interview to tell him that story and tell him it happened at his perfect game.
So that's what I should have done. Switch the entire story around. I was at your perfect game. Right. A seagull dumped on my forearm.
You should have lied at your teeth and just switched what pitchers pitched the perfect game.
Listeners, me and Tom are like, I thought that was the David Wells perfect game. I seem to remember this story. Because the Lakers are the Lakers, Magic Johnson quit abruptly. And because the Lakers are the Lakers, they were on to their third head coach of the search before they finally hired Frank Vogel. And because the Lakers are the Lakers, the day that Frank Vogel's finally hired, Magic Johnson decides to go on national TV and give out all the trade secrets and talks about backstabbing and vindictiveness and all types of very Lakers-esque qualities. The genie bus is in over her head. There's too many voices in the room. The guy running the business side of things has too much of a basketball influence, on and on and on. Let's hear from Magic Johnson on yesterday's episode of First Take on ESPN.
Things got going in the right direction. And then I start hearing, you know, Magic, you're not working hard enough. Magic's not in the office. So people around the Laker office was telling me, Rob was saying things, Rob Pelinka, and I didn't like those things being said behind my back, that I wasn't in the office enough and so on and on. I started getting calls from my friends outside of basketball saying those things now were said to them outside of basketball. Now, not just in the Laker office anymore. Now it's in the media and so on.
And these are people you trust.
Exactly. People got to remember something. Being in this business for over 40 years, I got allies. I got friends everywhere.
This is awesome. It is so awesome because the Lakers are such a dumpster fire. The Lakers are the Knicks with better weather. Completely dysfunctional, poor ownership, too many voices in the room. Nobody knows who's the actual basketball people. The actual basketball people aren't good at their jobs. And the only reason that they're still so relevant is because of their history and their market size. Well, and they have LeBron. Look, this one's pretty easy to chop up. Number one, Magic Johnson was in the wrong job. It's kind of a hard job, and you kind of need to be there every day. And Magic Johnson was employed because he was Magic Johnson. There is no evidence that he could put together a roster of a championship team. But the Lakers hired him because the Lakers love their stars and love their alumni. As I say about the Cowboys, it's a family business and a dysfunctional family. That's a bad combination. That's what has happened with the Lakers. It's a family business with a dysfunctional family. Magic never deserved that job, ever. He had no experience doing that. Well, he's a really successful businessman. Well, he has all these movie theaters, all these Starbucks. That doesn't mean you can build an NBA champion. Oh, and by the way, Magic was still managing the movie theaters and the Starbucks. So it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough to do everything. Like, I'm pretty sure Greg Popovich and Bill Belichick aren't running 12 Starbucks on the side of running their organizations. So he was never the right fit. And for Magic, on the day Frank Vogel gets introduced to go scorched earth on the Lakers is so petty. It is so cheap and so shallow and so small. And it is so Magic, who just loves drama and loves, I mean, he couldn't tell Jeannie Buss he was quitting, but he could tell the entire world Rob Pelinka was a snake. Okay. But what Magic speaks of is the hard reality here. The Lakers are a flipping mess. And it's because Jeannie Buss has never done this before, and she has too many cooks in the kitchen because she does not have one voice that controls everything. What she needs to do is have one voice, establish that person at the top of the food chain, and get out of the way and say everyone reports to X. But you can't do that because, well, we're family friends and you've been a friend for a long time and we go out to dinner all the time and you're a Laker for life and this and that and this and that. You know what the dirty little secret is? Jerry West is a cutthroat guy, or at least was when he was running the Lakers. He was a basketball man with basketball cred and basketball credentials that was going to manipulate and be cutthroat to make sure they had a winner. And he was going to be all in all the time. Have you ever read Jerry West's biography? You know what type of upbringing he had. I mean, he was abused by his father. And he made it out of West Virginia, and he had not a pot to you know what in. And he was going to, I mean, he was driven by the fear of going back to poverty and of absolutely having to prove himself. And this voice in the back of his head that was his father who would never approve and all these types of things. Jerry West comes off as a gentle, nice old man. Jerry West was a cutthroat assassin, okay, when he was playing and when he was an executive. But he had all the control. That's all you had to have. He's got the control. He handles everything. The way that the Lakers are built now, nobody knows anything. Who's doing what? Who's in control? Who has a voice? And you know what? Magic having one foot out the door and being emotionally checked out, I'm sure it did not help because you have other people like Rob Pelinka, my guess is, that are like, well, we kind of need to make a decision, but Magic is out cutting another ribbon, another Starbucks. Well, we kind of need to do this, but Magic hasn't showed up at the facility in 2 days. Well, what do we do here? We need somebody that's all in. Look, Rob Pelinka's his ability to run that franchise is in serious question, obviously. But we didn't need Magic on the day Frank Vogel is hired to throw him under the bus to know that. And his resemblance to Rob Lowe in Parks and Rec is staggering. It's jarring. It's scary. This is literally the worst day of my life. Magic Johnson is throwing me under the bus on national TV. I need to go find a sacred spot underneath the Hollywood sign and do 640 mantras and then drink a kale smoothie. It is a disaster. And is there a way out? No, there's not a way out unless Jeannie Buss says, okay, you run the basketball and everybody reports to you. But do you think they're going to do that? Of course not. There's no way out. And if you're Magic, if you are LeBron James, you have got to be asking yourself, after Magic and the Pelinka and the Jeannie Buss and the Frank Vogel and the Monty Williams and the Jason Kidd and the Tyronn Lue, what have I done? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, we'll jump into your phone calls on the Magic Johnson mess and the Lakers mess, but we'll also tackle Dodgy Tom. Did he finally get his payback? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mornings, mothership.
I would definitely eat hot dogs out of a Stanley cup.
Or, ooh, I got it. A giant hot cookie with scoops of vanilla ice cream.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. Remember, full episodes of the DA show available in podcast form. If you want to listen to them, hear something you may have missed, or want to hear it again, just go to iTunes and search DA and CBS, also radio.com or other places podcasts are available. And you can go to the website, cbssportsradio.com. Just click on the DA show tab.
Ooh!
The game plan for success, sponsored by Napa. Now, taking a look at a team and their plan for success. Game 4, Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Raptors and Bucks. The Raptors, their game plan, simply shooting better from the field. They made just 40% of their shots in their Game 3 victory. Partially helped out by the Greek Freak being really shut down by Kawhi and then also fouling out to start double overtime. They'll need more from Kyle Lowry yet again. We say that almost every single game. Napa Auto Parts has the expertise in parts that you need to help you keep your car on the road no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. I do not feel bad that we celebrated Mraz's birthday last week without him. Because had that happened to me, I would have taken it as a compliment. If the guys here in the studio while I was on vacation brought in a Fudge of the Whale cake or some other type of delicious treat, put on party hats, brought in balloons, and then brought in one of my favorite cameos of the DA shows, Cast of Thousands, Huge Freeze, and dedicated an entire segment or two to me, including an entire camera trained just on the person eating all of the cake, I would have been incredibly thankful and grateful that I had great friends like that. Mraz is cut from a different cloth. He didn't like it. He felt disrespected, yada, yada, yada. Today, though, I know he's figuring we're going to pull out a week-old slice of Fudge of the Whale cake from the freezer. And I got to tell you, big boy, there ain't no cake left.
I'll get to it in an hour. I understand what's going on here. I'm not an idiot. I was born, wasn't born yesterday.
Huge Freeze came and he ate everything. He ate 6 slices. And, you know, when it's a Fudge of the Whale cake, which is an ice cream cake with fudge on top and cookie crumbles and whipped cream.
I'm aware of what makes up the cake.
It's not a slice that you eat. It's a chunk. It's a hunk. He had six hunks. There ain't nothing left. He ate it all.
I understand what happened here. You guys wanted to get my goat, get me going, and at the end I get presented the piece of cake today. I understand. I don't want to ruin it. I get it. You're not going to surprise me.
There ain't no cake. It's gone.
That's why I just ate my banana now, so I know in an hour I'm hungry.
Ain't no cake. I hate to break it to you, man. Ain't no cake. Now, I want to ask you this. What did Mama Mraz, who already has us on a short leash for taunting you or calling you a bozo, what was her reaction to the birthday celebration?
She basically just a bunch of knuckleheads. I wouldn't say she hated you guys. She wasn't happy. She was like, did you see what they did? Yeah, I saw what they did. It was my mother-in-law who was super excited about it.
She loved it.
She loved it. She go, did you see what DA did? How nice was that? I said, no. You don't understand what they're doing there. They're trying to get my goat. They're doing something they wouldn't have done if I was here. She thought it was all nice. I'm not going to fall for that. But again, I know Ole's going to be forgiven in about an hour when maybe you give me a piece of the head or something. I know something's coming.
Ain't no cake. Huge ate it all. Ain't no cake.
Okay. You want your Klondike bars? You better present me a cake or a piece in the next hour.
Huge ate all the cake. The cake is gone. There's no more cake.
Do you want me to play into this? Oh, DA, how could you not leave any cake? If you want me to do it, I'll play into it.
I don't know what to tell you. Huge ate it all. There ain't no cake left.
DA, I know you guys. I know you guys now. You left me. That's a happy ending. It's a movie that gets a happy ending.
So I can stand on mountains. I miss that big boy already. I miss fat Frankie Valli already.
You miss your old familiar friends waiting just around the bend.
So the Boston Bruins await the winner of the Western Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Boston Bruins swept out the Carolina Hurricanes 4-0 to reach their third Stanley Cup final since 2011. So the good times keep rolling for Boston sports teams. Remember that Boston, I shouldn't even say remember, I'm sure you're very well aware, holds right now two of the four professional sports franchise championships already currently. Patriots are world champions. The Red Sox are world champions. And right now, the Boston Bruins are in the Stanley Cup final. But before you get all hot and bothered and you resent the success of another Boston team, remember, they did us a solid. They did us a solid because dodgy Tom Dundon's Carolina Hurricanes were getting a little too high on the hog. Literally. A little too high on the hog. They had ripped through the first two rounds. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals. They had been called a bunch of jerks by Don Cherry. Bunch of jerks. They also had an actual pig as their mascot running around the parking lot and the arena. And it was a pig.
They look like a bunch of jerks.
It was a pig. And Dodgy Tom was getting a little too high on the hog. A little too full of himself, a little too, I'm a genius, my team's the best, and so we needed to put it to bed. And that's what he did. That's what the Bruins did, rather. And that pig represents Tom Dundon perfectly. A swiny, oinking hog that rooted around in his trough and ate up the Alliance of American Football because of his swinishness. That pig needed to get chopped up. Finally did.
Comfortable.
Finally did. So I'm sorry to the good people of Raleigh. I know you're good people. I know that you're good sports fans. But your owner, he's a bunch of jerks.
They look like a bunch of jerks.
And he took away the greatest spring football league of our era. And he stole it in the middle of the night like Indianapolis stole the Baltimore Colts, moving out in a Mayflower truck, and we just couldn't sit here and allow it to happen. So I'm sorry, but it had to happen this way. Dodgy Tom Dundon should not be allowed to be drinking out of any type of Stanley Cup, celebrating anything. He had to get it. He had to get it right in the kisser, and he got it. That'll show you, Dodgy Tom. The sports gods are with us. We walk with them. We walk with the Alliance.
I'm pretty comfortable.
Ain't nothing but a hog, he. Dodgy Tom Dundon. You ain't nothing but a swiney oink. Dodgy Tom Dundon. You stole the Alliance and you ain't no friend of mine. Also, knowing that Dodgy Tom Dundon did what he did to the Alliance, I started poking around these conference finals, wanted to get people around the arena, around the organizations, around the coverage. And I just said, you know, how is Tom? How is this guy? What's he like behind the scenes? To a person, everybody's like, oh, he's totally arrogant. Oh, he thinks he knows everything. He treats people like dirt. It's terrible. Everybody in the NHL knows this guy is a crook and a stink pot. So good riddance, Dodgy Tom. Good riddance.
They look like a bunch of jerks.
They're nothing but a bunch of jerks. Now, We await the winner of Blues and Sharks. It's 3-2. Blues lead the series. Tonight's game number 6. A chance for the St. Louis Blues to go to their first cup final since 1970 when they lost to the Boston Bruins with the Bobby Orr flying through the air goal. Classic, iconic, perhaps the most iconic shot in hockey history. Mraz, I know you have a soft spot in your heart for St. Louis because they lost the Rams. Are you going to be pulling hard if it's Blues Bruins?
Yeah, and frankly, if it's the Sharks, I'm pulling hard because we needed Boston Power to knock out Dundon and give him his payback. But now we're also reminded we don't need another Boston parade anywhere. We don't need the duck boats. We don't need the kid holding the sign, how many parades he's been
to.
That's
true. That kid's annoying.
So, yeah, whether it be the Blues or Sharks, I prefer the Blues because I think those fans deserve it more after that Super Bowl. We are pro-Western Conference here on the DA Show heading into the Stanley Cup Final.
People, I think, don't realize how good a hockey town St. Louis has been for a long time. I mean, they had the Rams for about 20 years, but they're known for the Cardinals. They're a pretty good hockey town and have been.
They love the Blues, part of the second six.
That's right. Yes, the original six included the Boston Bruins. Then the next wave of expansion in 1968, I think it was.
Right, where they all the expansion teams played in one division, if you remember. The Blues had a lot of success early on.
I do remember those late 60s.
Yeah, I do as well.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute.
I know, Bogus, you felt good that the Dodgy Toms got swept.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could have been a little more heartbreaking if we really wanted to.
True.
As much as deflating as a sweep is, could have taken like a game 7 bad call into overtime, Bruins win.
Yeah.
Hurricanes hit a post.
Some type of screw job.
Just to taunt them.
Yeah.
But I'll take this. They just needed to be out as soon as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. Dodgy Tom needed to, after what he did to us with the Alliance, he needed to be gone. And he is the Grim Reaper of Alliance primetime, and so we shall never allow him to. We'll never forget that. We'll never allow him to live in peace after that.
Should we shift our focus on getting him to own something that we want to be destroyed?
Yes!
Could that be our next
goal? Yeah, the Patriots.
Yes.
Let's get him to own the Patriots.
Yes.
To destroy it.
How can we do that?
Yeah.
We hope the Kraft video leaks, the NFL revokes
it,
and we have to put it up for auction. Dundon now, obviously familiar with football, buys the Pats.
Okay, best case scenario there.
Yeah, and we see a crazy video.
So everybody wins.
All right, that is what we're rooting for here on the DA Show. The Kraft video to finally be leaked, the NFL to revoke the ownership of the Kraft family, it to be put up for auction, and Dodgy Tom Dundon, upon the millions that he's made with Top Golf, swoops in, owns the Patriots, and then rips it apart and moves them.
Patriots are colors.
I just need them to stop winning. Anything other than that is icing on the cake.
It's true. It's Trash Tuesday for us. When we come back, we are taking out the trash. Who are you trashing? Tweet at me, DA on CBS.
Open now for brunch.
Intellectual and informative discussion for our listeners on proper wing eating technique and different even wrist exercises to keep us healthy for years to come.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That voice you just heard is now the voice of the Binghamton AA Rumble Ponies, and he just called a no-hitter 2 weeks ago. What are the odds? Glad you're back with us here on the DA Show. That would be Jacob Wilkins.
And now he is twerking his face.
And I'm just so glad that Jacob is getting his shot to show the world exactly what he is, who he is. However, I do not like when he cuts into our show and our programming. Last week, apparently, the Rumble Ponies had a doubleheader that started at 11 a.m. That's an early double dip for the Rumble Ponies. And thus, at 11 a.m., our affiliate in Binghamton left us and went to Jacob Wilkins calling Rumble Ponies and starting up the pregame show. Now, I assume it's an 11 a.m. start time because I can't imagine Rumble Ponies pregame is all that long.
Yeah, 45 minutes, I would assume.
You think it's a 45-minute pregame?
Yeah, you got to go to the manager's show and everything.
Just shitting.
So, I assume it was maybe an 11:05 first pitch. Which just makes me feel like I love Jacob, but I don't want him suddenly jumping into our time. You know, we deserve up until noon in Binghamton Eastern time.
Yeah, but you can't preempt Ryder than you, so he's got to be. They got to play 2 by 6 p.m.
Oh, you get Bill on. We used to have that. We used to have that time slot. We got preempted plenty
by anything,
by everything. Okay,
didn't even know if we were on. Sometimes
I know Clemson women's hoops used to just bump us off the air like basically 35 nights a year. So I don't want to hear it. Ryder's going to have to get bumped. That's why we're in this time slot. So I'm sorry. I'm just telling the Binghamton affiliate right now. As great as Jacob is, as important as Rebel Ponies baseball is, you cannot cut away until noon. He will join Rumble Ponies in Progress at noon Eastern.
Okay. Chip and Jacob?
Yeah. Online
it's
only.
An absolute stunner.
We made Jacob. We made him. I don't want him cutting us off. I don't care if it's a doubleheader against the Rail Nuts, okay?
Rail Nuts just won 7 in a row.
Wiener. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No. Okay, the Altoona Rail Nuts doubleheader against the Rumble Ponies have to wait until till noon.
The Portland Sea Turtles.
Okay? And that's when we'll join Jacob Wilkins in Progress. Bottom of the third. Game one.
A multitude of different ideas.
I can hear him now. We'd like to welcome those who are listening to the end of the DA show. Top three here in game one.
All right.
We'd like to welcome those that were listening to the epic fail on the DA show. It is 2-0 Rail Nuts as we go to the top of the third.
And since DA missed that Geico read, let me get it in for you.
We'd like to welcome you, those that have listened to Just Huge Free sing for an hour.
It's a Trash Tuesday. Let's cue the band.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mariah, lead us off. You were just traveling for a week, so I'm sure you have a lot of trashes.
Yeah, as we've learned with your exploits, if you will, traveling always leads to trashes. And I am trashing the final thing that happened on my trip. The final thing.
Yeah.
We are on the process of coming home 11 hours, right? You do a quick half hour layover in Seattle, Seattle back to New York City.
And that's a quick flight, Seattle to New York.
Yeah, another 6 hours in a plane, right?
I'm skipping a jump.
You've had 6 hours to get up and use the restroom. All right, at any point, you could have gotten up, nice, easy flight, whatever. We now make the announcement we are approaching our landing, we're going to begin our descent. We make that first announcement. Then the second announcement comes, all right, we are about to be cleared for landing here. Everybody, seatbelt sign on for the rest of the flight. At which point, the man sitting in the window, because I was in the aisle, my wife was in the aisle. Man sitting in the window taps me on the shoulder, goes, I got to get up, use the restroom. I go, get up, use the restroom. They just said no more. He goes, don't worry about it. I got to get up, use the restroom. Throws my wife on a fluster.
Wow.
Here's the problem, though. My wife, because she owns an iPhone and not a Galaxy or a Samsung, has those headphones that don't plug into the TV.
Right.
So she had to use my good work headphones. She's using my good work headphones. She goes to hang them up or whatever. This guy comes out, cuts across me, cuts across her, and drags my headphones with him down the aisle. Worst part is, now they go flying. I'm on my hands and knees with a flashlight trying to find the wire. Then I realize the damn wire, as I'm holding here at Watch DA, snapped off into the jack on the TV, and these are expensive Bose headphones. This idiot, because he couldn't hold he held his urine for 6 hours, couldn't hold it for another 15, broke my damn wire. I don't even know what just happened to it. But now I had to order another wire that just came in last night, spent another $30. Oh, and he saw that the wire snapped, not even an apology.
Ooh.
Just looked at it and goes, and just like shrugged his shoulders and sat down. Now, I'm sorry. Ugh. 6 hours, get him out.
That's brutal.
Stinky debris.
Get
him out. What did this guy look like?
He was, I would say, late 30s.
Okay.
Tannish complexion, slight mustache, and rude. Also wearing Crocs, which I thought was a little off-putting.
Not overweight.
No.
There wasn't a good excuse for him to drag a headphone.
He was slender enough. But again, you had all flight to get up.
That's right.
And we're going to be at the terminal in 15 minutes at that point. They just said no more getting up. What is with people not listening? And because you did it, you rushed it, and you broke my wire.
That's terrible. Really terrible. Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
I am trashing supermarket sales. There are some things that you don't need a sale on. You don't need buy one, get one free on bread. I mean, how much bread are you going to eat in a week? I mean, I only want one loaf of multigrain bread. The other loaf of bread is going to go stale.
It's free. Just take it.
Oh, for free? I guess I'll have three. I mean, I don't need three loaves of bread sitting there on my counter. And we don't need $10 for 10 boxes of Goldfish. I mean, I love Goldfish or any snack that you want. You don't need 10 of them sitting in your cabinet. Get them out.
Hot trash.
I really appreciate that. That is a reverse right there. That's a double reverse. Never saw it coming. Trashing free stuff.
Yeah, trashing people giving you a break.
You know what? I'm going to back Pete here. My supermarket all the time does buy one pack of English muffins, get two free. That's 18. Who's eating 18 English muffins before they go bad in a week?
You can freeze those bad boys.
You gotta put those in the freezer. Right?
Okay.
Like new.
Show me how many people pull them out of the freezer, then thaw them and toast them up and put butter. That's a whole project. It takes a day.
I do it.
You gotta plan your. You gotta on Friday go, I'm gonna want this English muffin tomorrow, so let me put it on the cabinet to thaw out.
When I take the last one out of the one in the fridge, the new one comes out of the freezer, and the next time I want an English muffin, unless it's in 15 minutes, it's thawed out, ready to go.
Bogus, then it's soggy crap. Buy one, get two free. Stop it. Just give me half off the one.
Is it the same quality? No. Is it plenty good enough? Absolutely. Is it worth saving the money? Definitely.
No. Trash.
And I don't need two bags of chips for $5.
I want one bag of chips for $2. Chips here every day.
Give me a break.
You're frugal in every other way. You steal from the buffet.
Don't steal.
You do. You halfway your tray of food, but the sale on chips isn't good enough for you?
I don't want two bags for $5. I want one bag for $2.
Or $2.50. So let me ask you this, Bogish. Yeah. Can you just tell the audience the Pete the Body buffet stories that they have context here?
Yes, I apologize for that. So we have a number of places around here that have hot and cold buffets. You fill up a little tray. You bring it to the register. They have a scale. They weigh it, and everything is a price per pound. And we've noticed that Pete, normally you give your thing to the woman, and she weighs it. Pete insisted on putting his on the scale, and he left off like the last eighth of the styrofoam container.
Was he holding it up a little bit?
No, just didn't put it all the way on, so it wasn't fully weighing his lunch, and it probably saved him like 69 cents. But again, don't offer him a free loaf of bread.
First of all, they put it on the scale. That's one thing.
Don't make me call Max Herman from Canada.
I don't care.
I'll do
it. It's their responsibility to adjust the tray onto the scale.
It's everybody else.
It's not my fault. I don't work for them.
It's everybody else.
Had it. Stupid lunch.
Stupid lunch.
I've had it. Bilotti's had it. People are trying to take him down because of who he is in his position. He's said this before.
That's correct.
Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing?
DA, I've been a string of. I've seen adults curse at or near kids three times in the last like 2 weeks. This is the doozy. 2 weekends ago at a communion party, all the kids on the dance floor doing the floss, whatever. All of a sudden, an 8-year-old version of like a nightclub brawl breaks out between two brothers.
Whoa.
Little one's bothering the big one. They're probably like 10 and 8. The big one shoves the little guy down. He gets up and goes nuts at his brother. Ooh. Like a circle forms around them. They're throwing legit punches. They have fought before. Their parents finally separate them. The mom takes the older one back to the table. And he proceeds to go, you know, Timmy was bothering me. And she goes, I don't give an S in the middle of the party.
Oh.
So that's where that began. So I'm trying to figure out how these two kids have become mini heathens.
Yeah.
It's because their mom is just dropping S bombs like nobody's business right in their face.
I really like that.
It's kind of amazing and also scary for their future. So and a flaws and a trash.
And it's a communion party, so it's supposed to be a religious event.
It's supposed to be a little holy, yeah, and in front of Jesus and all your friends and family. Telling
Amen.
Your I don't give an S while
Let's
you punch
face
your brother.
It. That's straight trash.
I am trashing, speaking of travel, my TV screen yesterday on the flight. I've got a 3-person row here. The guy to my left, who I don't know, perfectly fine television screen. The bourbon bell to my right, who I have very generously given her the window seat, has a perfectly fine TV. And my TV looks kind of dim, but that's okay. And then suddenly flickers and goes out. And I'm like, wait a second. What has happened here? So then I try to kind of like put my headphones in and push all the buttons around and reset the menu thing and go to the live map and go back to the menu. And comes on for about 30 seconds, and then it'll flicker and go really dark. And so my wife says, well, if yours not working, we can share. And so she hands me one of her earbuds, and I look at what she's watching. And she's watching Weather Channel coverage of the tornadoes yesterday in Oklahoma City. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Let me try to get this working. So I'm like adjusting this screen. I'm pushing it in. I'm pulling it out. It's like holding for about a second, and then it's flickering again. I push it in. I pull it out. And I'm sure I'm really annoying the person who's in front of me because I keep pushing on the screen. But I essentially, for the 3.5 hour flight back from Austin, I've had it just keep adjusting the screen the entire time to get it to not to just hold with a really dim flicker. So I'm trying to watch coverage of the fallout of Magic Johnson. I can't even read the ticker. I'm like really smushing my face up against it. I'm like, what is it? What does that say? Rob Pelinka, I look over. My wife's on her third hour of watching the tornado coverage. I'm like, there's only one job here with the TV. Just make sure it works. I don't care if there's three channels on it. I don't care what I'm watching. I don't care if the audio doesn't work. Just make sure the screen is decent, because without that, I'm going to live map, and that is just a mental torture to watch live map in real time.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Mike tweets, you guys obviously don't have kids. My household can kill 3 loaves of bread in 2 days. Wrong. Bogish has two young children.
And I'm all for the free bread.
You want it.
Yeah.
You need it.
Give it to me.
A lot of trash is coming in on the Twitter machine, including multiple trashes of Mraz. So we'll read those coming up at the top of the hour right after this commercial break. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.